You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. Let's go to the phones, and joining us, one of our favorite contributors, Chad LaChance. Good morning, Chad.
Hey, good morning, Terry. Thanks for that kind introduction.
Well, you know, the seasons are definitely changing. Fall is here, and being an avid angler and hunter, you have trouble picking your activity this time of the year, I'm sure, with all the great hunting and all the different types of fishing. But there's probably no better time to chase big trout in Colorado than the fall, is there?
No, sir. This is absolutely, without question, my favorite time of year, but also my favorite time of year for catching trout, for sure. And that's kind of why I wanted to talk about it a little bit. Also, a very close friend of mine, camera guy Tim Farnsworth, his favorite as well. A bunch of my group really like to catch them this time of year. And it really stems to the fact that the brown trout are on their spawn cycle. And it's not so much about fishing for those browns, you know, that are around their reds and stuff like that. That's not the thing we're to talk about. But it's the time of year that they get very aggressive, and they get the big type on their jaw, the big hook on the jaw, the end of their jaw. The colors come on. They get that classic, you know, buttery color that kind of matches the leaves around here right now. And they're just absolutely beautiful. But the reason that makes it so much fun is that they are very reliable. You know you're going to catch a few of them almost regardless of what the weather is. You're going to catch some of them. And if you hit a decent condition, you're going to catch a lot of them. And then the bonus that goes with this time of year is the fact that the rainbows and cutbows are around those brown trout, because those brown trout are spewing eggs, and those rainbows and cutbows will then take advantage of that. So in some of the lakes I wanted to talk about, like North Park, South Park, and the Laramie Plains lakes, you're going to have an opportunity. Really, your biggest fish are probably going to be your cutbows in most situations, but your numbers are going to be your browns. And so at the end of the day, you can pick and choose which you want to target, and it really makes for a fun outing. So, and for me, it's so consistent and so reliable that I can carry the least amount of tackle, particularly when it comes to conventional gear. I need hardly anything to target them in any of the lakes I already touched on, that North Park, South Park, Lake John, you know, Hattie, Twin, any of them. It's going to be a 1-2 punch. It's going to be a hard bait, like a big number 11 or 13 hit stick or some sort of big buoyant jerk bait. That's going to be the first thing I'm going to consider throwing most days, and then I'm going to back that up with a jig, and that jig's probably going to be a tube jig in something like a 3-inch range and a natural color. And if I don't want to throw plastics or I can't throw plastics, then I'll throw a marabou jig. But at the end of the day, the jig and the jerkbait are all you really need to carry in all the years I've been chasing trout all over the state and surrounding states at this time of year. And that's what makes it really fun. A couple keys, though, and I do want to mention one thing about the reds themselves. I had a guy give me a hard time about fishing around trout up at Delaney Butte that were clearly up in the shallow water north Delaney. I had a long talk with the biologist there, and he told me in as many words that they have almost zero natural recruitment. So even if those trout appear to be trying to spawn, it's not the same as, say, the Colorado River, where they are not stocked. So in these lakes, the Laramie Plains lakes, the Delaney Buttes, the Spinneys, those trout look like they're spawning, and they are, but they're not going to do so successfully. So it's not something that as anglers we need to be really conservation-oriented. The thing we need to be careful with, though, is not handling the fish too much, because you will absolutely tear the fish, you know, wear the fish out because they're in their spawn cycle. But in terms of, you know, are you going to hurt the number of fish in the lake by fishing for them? No, absolutely not, because all those fish are stocked in there, you know, by man anyway. So that's a key thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, we had the hatchery on just a few weeks ago talking about how the brown trout taking the eggs and the milt is very similar to what they do with the walleyes in Colorado. And they completely concurred with what you said, is that those lakes where they get the brown trout, there's virtually no natural reproduction. It has to be restocked with eggs that are taken and then fertilized and grown and hatched and then put back in. And yeah, you're doing no harm at all. Like on some rivers, you're absolutely right. You know, if you see fish on the beds or on the reds, maybe try to find a different fish. But on those lakes, you're doing, you know, we want the genetics in there. So like you said, release those big ones, but certainly no harm to the fish population.
So you're going to, you're not going to disrupt their spawning cycle, but that's important. And keep in mind, those rainbows are doing their best to disrupt the spawning cycle by eating eggs by the ton. And it's funny because if you catch a big brown, a lot of the times a big hen will have eggs coming out of her vent, of course, and you catch a big rainbow and that thing will be spitting up eggs. So depending on, you'll know you're around them when that's going on in your boat or, you know, whatever.
And you were going to talk about some keys to the presentations, though.
Yeah, I think the couple things for me, it almost always involves the potential that the fish will be, A, shallower than you think. And some of the best days we've had are when the weather's really bad, and I mean really bad. Like, and you know me, Terry, I'm a cold weather wuss, but when it gets really cold and really crappy, a lot of times you're going to find fish right at your feet and right up on the bank, and they're going to be running up and down the banks and feeding very aggressively. I will go where the wind is blowing in on the lake, which is kind of day one stuff in fishing in general, but in this particular scenario, it all comes together because the eggs are up there as well, so the rainbows will be running real shallow with the browns, and everybody's trying to get a hold of those eggs that are up there. So if I want to target the browns, I'm typically going to start with the most aggressive presentation, which would be the big jerkbait. And in my experience, a little jerkbait will not get you as many bites as a big one. Part of what you're doing is appealing to the fact that they're territorial and just generally in a bad mood. That's why they got a big type, so they can fight with each other. And they'll attack plugs, a big hard plug of some sort, very, very well, or a big streamer if you're a fly guy. But the size of it will actually help you get bites. So, like, if I'm looking at something like a Berkeley hit stick, or your audience may be more familiar with a floating Rapala, I'm looking at, like, a number 11 or 13. I'm not looking at a 7 or, one of the small ones, which I might throw at other times of the year, because I want the bulk in the presentation to help me get fish to bite. The other thing about that is I can throw it on big tackle. And everyone wants to, bite fish on light tackle and all that. But at this time of year, with the fish being in their spawn cycle, it's better if you can land them quickly and release them quickly. And that's much easier to do on, medium power or medium heavy even powered spinning tackle than it is, or maybe your 6 or 7 or 8 weight fly rod, because you're throwing a great big streamer. You can land stuff on the big line and the big stick in a hurry and get them released. So that's a good thing. If I'm targeting the rainbows, then I'm almost without fail going to go right to the jig. And it most commonly for me is a tube jig, but it could be a marabou jig. It could be one of my gold minnows, of course, or it could be one of those, a little soft swim bait, a little 2-inch or 3-inch little baby swim bait. But generally the tube jig is best, or the marabou jig, and bottom contact is critical with that. And if you keep that bait on the bottom around the edges of the weed lines and say, Spinny or Delaney or up at, that worked really well for us up at Hattie, just dragging it along the edges of the weeds, you're going to find some big old cutbows that will come in and get that. Some of the fattest fish you're going to see all year.
Well, they really, it's kind of like the phenomena you see in Alaska, which I know you've recently been up there, where the rainbows come out, and up there they're feeding on the salmon eggs, but here they're feeding on those brown eggs. And not only does it make them aggressively feed, but they put some pounds on, you get some heavy fish.
Oh, man, some of the fattest fish you're going to see all year are going to be right around now. And, we went up and did, we caught the classic Hattie fatty, that is what everybody calls them up at Lake Hattie. But, I mean, this rainbow was so fat he couldn't hardly even swim, it looked like, spitting out eggs, just regurgitating eggs by the ton as I'm trying to get him out of the landing net, because he was so full of eggs from brown trout that he couldn't even swallow them. And just ridiculous. And those eggs, of course, are extremely nutrient dense like any other egg. So there's a good chance for those fish to get really big. The funny thing is I hesitated talking about this on the radio because it can be so simple that there's not really a lot to talk about. If you take a jig and you put it on the bottom and you drag it around and you're not getting bit, then you need to move somewhere else. And for me, it's going to come down to gravelly banks with the wind blowing on them. It's going to be your best. Some of the shallow little dikey areas where they've got the little, riprap and stuff right at the foot of the riprap can be really good. There's a couple spots up in North Park where there's some rock ridges in the lake. Getting on those ridges up shallow can be really good as well. But it's not rocket science. It's just really a matter of enduring the elements and making a lot of casts. And if you're jigging, keep the jig on the bottom. If you're jerkbaiting, keep that thing moving. And you're going to catch some fish. And really, if you really want to catch them, wait till the weather's horrible, the wind's blowing, it's spitting snow, you can hardly stand to be out there. Don't wear your cotton briefs, though, and you'll be fine.
You're absolutely right. Hey, we got about 2 minutes left. How's Horsetooth doing?
The lake's rising like mad right now, Terry, which is a little strange because the water year normally goes to the end of October, so they'd be draining until the end of the year. I'm not quite sure what's going on. I haven't talked to Northern Colorado Water, but the lake is rising right now. Water temperatures are still in well into the 50s. The trout are popping pretty good. They're trout that were stocked in the last couple of years, so they're not the monsters the lake is famous for. Or known for, per se, but these fish are all in the 12 to 16-inch range. They're popping pretty good right now. I'm sitting here looking at the bay right now, and there's quite a few trout rising. I'll also point out that I got about a 160-inch muley buck laying here and a little smaller buck laying here as well. The rut's starting to kick off with those guys. We're seeing them push each other around, too. So, beautiful time at the lake.
All right, my friend. As always, great to have you on, and we will talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Fantastic. Enjoy the fall season, Terry.
You bet. Chad LaChance, always a great resource. Before we go to break, those trout he's talking about at Horsetooth, Karen and I went out a few weeks ago to try to chase some smallmouth bass on some glide baits like a jigging wrap or a Johnny Darter, those type of baits. And they were deep. And a bass tournament early in the year had found those fish at about 60 feet. Couldn't really get them to go, so we decided just to make a leisurely day out of it. We put the electric motor on troll and just went trolling down the lake. We threw out a couple small crankbaits behind the boat and one that dove a little deeper and one might have been a spoon. I'm not even sure, but I think we had both crankbaits. And the trout just started smacking them right away. So if you just want to have a leisurely day and catch some fish, drag a few baits. You don't have to get down deep. Something maybe gets you down 5 to 10 foot range on Horsetooth, and you will get hit by trout and have a really, really good time. Hey, I'm going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll wrap things up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.